something like that. And nobody is not even in the news hardly. It's like the world's going on in this Revelation Radio Network tonight. We're doing our talking. We're going to talk about some instances and events. Go to other shows. It's talking about something also. TV is just normal. And yet the president can say we're almost at a nuclear war, the closest we've ever been. And if things just go on as normal, no headlines. Oh, did you hear about the plane that crashed? Oh, yeah, I watched the basketball game the other day. And it just goes on. Like nothing. You ever think about that? Imagine if he was back in the 60s or the 70s or 80s, be the biggest talk of the radio, of the air. It'd be the buzz at the water fountain at the office. It's a big deal back in the 60s. We've been close, though, to nuclear war for quite a few times. But now we're so numb, got so many things going on, that we say, oh, a nuclear war? Oh, okay. When's it going to start? Oh, I don't know. Anytime. Oh, okay. Well, just let me know when it happens. Next, pass the biscuits, please. One instance that happens, like this plane that crashed, Malaysia plane, all of a sudden you got conspiracy theories galore. You know, they can come up with anything they want of any kind of conspiracy, put it on the news, in the talk shows, or put it in the newspaper, your before it's news type of websites, and you'll have so many different theories, it's hard to even keep track of. And you have so many of them, you say, oh, what the dickens, and you go about your normal business and routine. And I think part of this is that they're testing to see just how unaware that we are, or how frightening we can be, or just how apathetic. Now, they are going to pull something, though. They're getting to that point of getting ready to pull something. Of that, you can rest assured. Because there have been some major changes in the way they do things that's never been before. And I'll tell you a couple of them. One is they started telling you the truth about how evil the government can be. How conspiratorial that it is. That the government's worthless. Then they say, well, the same thing in Europe, the same thing in Greece. And notice that? A lot of places. That they're showing you how worthless the governments are. And when they start showing you that they've kept hidden all this time, now that's significant. Because in the past they've kept it hidden. Not anymore. Because I know from the planning I've read before in their own planning process that once they show the worthlessness of all governments, then they're going to launch the New World Order in one day, one 24-hour period. They're going to launch it. But first they must show the worthlessness of all governments worldwide. They're usually going to hit it on the bankers. Well, the bankers control it and so forth and so on. And so they blame it on the Muslims. They blame it. Oh, they say the Muslims now are in control of IRS. They've infiltrated. Al-Qaeda's infiltrated IRS. Can you believe it? Yeah, I thought it was the Jews. No, it's now the Al-Qaeda is infiltrated into the IRS. There's the Jews that run the economic situation in America. They know this by now. Are they working together, maybe? Oh, no, it's the Freemasons. Oh, nice Templar. Oh, okay. I wish somebody would make up their mind. Left, right, front, and center. And so, And those people that, you know, you ever think about it? Those of you that's probably listening right now, you probably know a little bit what's going on. You keep up with the news like we all do. You look for the conspiracy that's involved here. And on and on. But sometimes, those of us that do keep up with the news and come up with the conspiracy theories, or you report, you know, some of the things going on, Illuminati and all this sort of thing, you take things for granted. We do. You'd be like, well, didn't you know? And of course they don't. 90% of the population don't have a clue what we're talking about. When you talk about the New World Order, the Illuminati, Jesuits, etc., etc., you're talking a new language. We take it for granted that everybody knows about the New World Order. Space aliens, extraterrestrials, they don't. 90% of the population, although seemingly politically aware, aren't really aware at all. They're aware only where the news will take them. Now, let me give you a specific. For an example, in 1915, J.P. Morgan and Company, in fact, bought out up to about 25 of the major newspapers, and this is reported by congressional records, 1915, that J.P. Morgan bought out 25 of the major newspapers and assigned an editor to each one to control everything printed, written, or otherwise. You say, well, that was 1915. Mm-hmm. And then they passed the baton of control onto the Rockefellers in about 1920, 1921, when they took control, when they had set up the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of Foreign Relations, from 1921 on, have controlled every major communication method in the United States. Newspapers, radio, TV, magazines, newspapers, everything. They have a section in the Council of Foreign Relations. The Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati, period, in the United States. Every president since 1921 has been a member of some sort. And the presidential staff, that is the shadow government before even FEMA came up. They control everything. 1921, all the jingles for getting us into war, Edward Bernays, the whole nine yards. Now that's a reality. So what does that mean for you? It means this. With money, the Rockefellers gained control of the media. With the media, the family gained control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And with control of politics, they took control of the nation. Now, the Rockefellers, one of 13 Illuminati families of the outside circle, the inside circle are not Jews. The inside circle, the real controllers, are Italian and German. The outside, the Rockefellers, the Reynolds, DuPont, etc., etc., the 13 you know about, are the ones that you're supposed to know about. But the 13 inside are Italian. All of them are Italian, Roman, Luciferian. They're the real controllers, not a Jew among them. And they're the ones that control the nation, nations. Oh, they have the inner fightings. They almost destroyed the entire Astor family aboard the Titanic. They got 20 members of a Chinese electronic company aboard that Malaysia jet, took it away, or whatever they did with it. Gave the Rothschilds access to a patent that was a microchip that was highly sought after. all kinds of things going on that the average person don't have a clue about. And when you try to tell them, they don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Well, all this is coming up to a head. Just to know, 1933, 1943, 1962-63, 1972-74, 1984-87, 1999 were all years, and some in between, but major those years, those were the major ones, were actually a planned coup of a military takeover of the U.S. government that failed every time. Just in the 20th century, to make this country a dictatorship. Now, I have evidence from FDR's quote in March 4th, 1939, about setting up a dictatorship, confiscate everything you need for a true and forceful dictatorship, unquote, and pretty much to hell with American people as far as democracy is concerned. They don't have it. Never will, and we see to it that they'll never have one that way. That's part of a quote that I've got behind closed doors that FDR gave to in front of three congressional committees, of which one was a member, put the quote in his diary, Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, behind closed doors, and he gave this quote, I'm not even going to read it right now, but he gave this quote to It was a much longer quote, and it gave kind of the attitude of all the presidents that we've ever had, sums it all up, in the reality. I don't think it will anyway. And the only ones that didn't have this kind of attitude and this kind of a agenda was Andrew Jackson, Lincoln, McKinley, and JFK. And all four of those had something in common. All of them had in common a life, there was an assassination attempt on their life. And three of them, it worked. Now that's the ones you know about. The ones you don't know about, there's like four or five others that when you look into their lives, you'll find that more than likely they were assassinated also, but never reported, of our presidents that went against this new world order. But what sums up, including, I mean, every one of them, Reagan, one of the worst ones, Reagan, Nixon. Nixon was going to attempt a military coup 1972-74. I got the details. Reagan, 1984-87. Giafrida, Oliver North, Knights of Malta. Star Wars project he had going on. Well, they're good actors, though, I'm tell you. Oh, well, looky there. Wouldn't you know it? Actors and governors. Actors and presidents. Actors and senators. This kind of goes together, actually. In March of 4th, 1939. Oh, by the way, the other presidents aren't any better at all. In England, Russia, none of them. Putin's nothing more than a little puppet guy. Just like Obama and just like Bush and all the rest of them. They're nothing more than little puppets of a much bigger organization. Putin has not got control of his country. The money powers, Illuminati does. He's just there to take orders and to look like he's taking control. And like he's some kind of president. But he's not at all. He's of no significance. The kings and queens, the Ginsburg, and the kings and queens and the Illuminatis, they're in control. But they have a much higher power over them as well. What you see in the upfront, the presidents, the prime ministers, and those, you know, in control, they're not in control at all. The hidden hand is what it really is. But March of 4th, 1939 sums it up, really. And you'll see how good an actor that they really are. So, just like all the other presidents, This quote sums up the attitude of all of them, except for the ones that were assassinated. I will quote FDR behind closed doors, March 4th, 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, that they planned in 1925, by the way, with his cousin Churchill. Oh, that's a fact. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And about 5 years after a planned military coup, the U.S. government had failed. So for 5 years after a military coup that was planned and failed, they planned another one in 1943. And 2 years before Pearl Harbor, FDR, behind closed doors, said the following, and I quote, listen to the words carefully, and was said forcefully, according to Senator Lundeen. You'll find the quote in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1955. He put it in a book. I got a copy of the book. You can find it, too, if you look for the copy of the book. Red Fog Over America, 1955. So FDR, the fireside chat FDR, very same one, the one that said this will be a day in infamy. Well, you ought to know because he planned the darn thing. Oh, yeah, they did. 1925, FDR and Churchill planned with the Japanese elite, planned Pearl Harbor, planned it. Not only they knew about it, but they planned it as a false flag to get us into World War II, to galvanize the country. Y'all getting the idea now? Here's what he said behind closed doors. I quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with the American people as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and the last analysis, declare martial law, and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. Now, that's a true statement. That's a true statement he made behind closed doors. Isn't that amazing how the act he did in front of people? A beloved president, he was reelected 4 times. Now, this is exactly how all of the presidents that's under the control of the monarchy have been all along. Now, you won't find this in history books, to say the least. Now, you say, well, that's 1940. No, it has nothing to do. No. This is what Bush believes. It's what Clinton believes. It's what Obama believes. It's what Reagan, Nixon, LBJ for sure believes, all of them. Eisenhower, Truman, every single one of them. Because they're all part of what's called the Merovingian bloodline. Lower level cousins of the Queen Elizabeth bloodline. That's a fact. Of a royal bloodline. And they assign the presidents as presidents of corporations and colonies. And we are a colony of England today. Ooh, that's a lot of implications. So is Canada, Australia, and British Israel are today colonies of England. None of them won their independence or even has one. That's correct. They're colonies. All of Australia is nothing but a colony of England. United States, since 1783, we've been nothing but a colony ever since. Now, they're starting to bring this up as I'm telling you today. Oh, we're a colony. We're not even sovereign and so forth and so on. To cause you to be in a defeated state. Oh, this is terrible. I don't. No. No. What you are a child of God, of Jesus, when you take him as your Savior. This is the bottom line. But what they're heading toward is for you all to see that the government's a facade, which it is, that we're free. No, it's a facade. We're not free. That we're subjugated, and that we are going to offer you now freedom of financial responsibilities, and you'll be free under one control, one government that's for peace. Family, that's a big lie. It's a bigger lie than you've been fed all along. This is what they're going to bring up to you. It's called the dialectic. We'll show you that you're now in subjugation. You're now in a slave status or a dictatorship, and you didn't even know it. But we can offer you freedom now. We'll get rid of those old bankers, those mean old bankers. No, they're going to bring in worse. For example, Jerry Boykin. He's definitely a fraud. He's a Knights of Malta. That in itself speaks volumes. That's all you have to know. To know that you're being lied to by these generals, a lot of these senators. When they're Knights of Malta, they've taken a blood oath against Americans and against mankind. Because a blood oath is horrific. It's like the Jesuits. And they work for the Vatican. They work for the monarchy. There is a separate, there's kind of a separation between your American Illuminati and the European Illuminati. And even the old Roman Empire, there's a little bit of hanky-panky going on here. There's some division. It's the big guys fighting over, like old dogs fighting over the last piece of meat. And guess who the meat is? Hi, my name's Meat. You see, but they lose. Because when it gets into the supernatural realm, and it will, that's when God's wrath is going to come down and it's going to fix things. Mankind's not going to do it. But they're not going to win either. They've lost this war already. That's the main thing. This isn't about religion at all. This is about reality, that Jesus Christ is in control. He allows evil to survive, time being, so people will make the decision who they want to be with. And there's a time it's going to come here, and he's going to say, okay, that's enough. And then God's wrath is going to come down upon an unrepentant world. We're on borrowed time. But right now, the old dogs are trying to fight over this piece of territory called the United States. China thinks they're going to take it. Well, after all, they have 257 foreign trade zones in America. Nobody talks about that. How come they don't talk about that? How come there's no... you ever notice? Oh, yeah. How about in the 50s and 60s when you had 40s and 50s and 60s when we had some kind of patriotic fervor? Would they not be outside the foreign trade zones picketing, marching? They're darn right they would. They're outside of Occupy Wall Street. That was funded by the Rockefellers to see how much oomph that you had. It's funded by Craig Fitzgerald and Luke Randowski. They're Freemasons. It's all a put-on. It's like Survivor on TV. It's a fraud. The We Are Change organization is a Freemason organization anyway. Occupy Wall Street was funded by the Rockefellers. Forford, for example, this guy, he worked for the Rockefellers. It's a put-on. Assange, Manning, Snowden. Man, they still work for the NSA and CIA. They're still on operation with them. They're assets. Pretending to be patriots, pretending to be, I'm a truth teller and I'm really good at sneaking away from the CIA. surely you don't believe that. CIA and the KGB work together. Putin and Obama, they work together. They're on the same team, but they won't let you know that. It's all scripted out. Behind closed doors, it's like two divorce lawyers on either side. They shake each other's hand and pat each other on the back until the clients show up, and then they go to pretending like the two lawyers are against each other. It's the same exact thing. It's a facade being played, but you know what? What's played on them is they've lost this battle. That's the one thing that you got to remember. If they thought they were in total control, they wouldn't have to play these silly games. These silly games have killed millions. Every war has been pre-planned. Every war. Wars do not start because of one incident leads to a war. War is over. Well, that's it. Move on to the next segment of society and to history. No, it's pre-planned. All three world wars were all planned before 1873. All three of them. Oh, I know. Somebody says, oh, Tom, wait a minute. I got you. And I'll say, why? Because only two world wars. No. They planned three. We still got one more to go. Uh-oh. And that world war will be the last one. And that world war will be between Islam and Zionism. Now, that should raise some eyebrows. Any eyebrows raised? If they're not, check, check. Because Islam isn't part of the World War III that's being scripted out right now. Who is? China, Russia, against America, NATO. Oh. How about that? The planned World War III is between Islam, the children of Ishmael, versus Zionism, Jews, the children of Isaac and Jacob, to fight each other into complete state of exhaustion. And all countries on either side also exhausted out. And the old Roman Empire to take over in the Middle East. That begins your 7-year tribulation. Well, actually, it had already been, oh no, I'm sorry. That would be the heading toward the wrath of God in the first 3.5 years of the 7. So that means a significant major event, a fake World War III of sort, has got to take place first. You got to have something of war, something of conflict, to bring us to a peaceful solution, finally, and that will be the first seal. Right now, this so-called World War III that's brewing is not the real one. America's definitely not Babylon. That there's no question. But yours, those like Gallup and Nathan Leal and the rest of them, they want you to believe that we're Babylon. That's impossible. We're a colony of England. We're not remotely rich. We don't have any money in America. There's no money here. The money is controlled by the IMF and the Vatican. We're all debt slaves since, 1929. And now we're going back around 360, back to it. China bought our debt. Each individual American is a debt slave to the Vatican through the birth certificates. We're pledged as collateral in the third bank cycle in 1929. That's what the birth certificate's all about. It's given to IMF to secure us as collateral individually. People didn't know about that. Some people do, but others don't. Except it was all supposed to end in 1999. At the end of 1999, we're supposed to be in a new world order. It never happened. That's what the stimulus plan was all about. That's what Kosovo was all about. Wesley Clark was supposed to start the trigger for World War III that is going on today. Was supposed to have happened in 1999, in June of 1999. Right now, look up Wesley Clark, the man who tried to start World War III, and Major General Michael Jackson from the Brits refused an order given by Clark to start a contact trigger by a conflict between the Brits and the Russians at Pristina Airport in June 1999. But Clark allowed the Russians to take the airport against the orders of Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark is one evil individual like Boykin. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholar, they're all part of the Illuminati. Clark is not a patriot by no stretch of the imagination. He worked with the Albanian mafia in Kosovo. Oh, yeah. I got Brooklyn Connection. It's on tape, on records. Absolutely. Krasnitsky, Albanian mafia, New York. KLA, worked with Holbrook, a Knights of Malta member, by the way. Wesley Clark, Rhodes Scholar, just like Clinton. Oh, it's all connected. It's a slam dunk. Virtually irrefutable. Albanian mafia gave funds to Kerry's campaign. Matter of fact, the Brooklyn Connection shows you writing the checks. You know, you can watch the Albanian mafia, members of the mafia, former KLA, Kosovo Liberation Army, writing checks, being prompted to write checks during a campaign in up in New York. You can watch them write the checks. Look up the Brooklyn Connection. You might not be able to find it. That's not something. Let us watch him write the checks for the Curious campaign. Kerry is a cousin of Bush, by the way. And Cheney. They're all cousins. Same Merovingian bloodline. Isn't that a hoot? Now, I've just covered an array of should-be eye-openers to show you how this is all so incestuous and convoluted. But they lose. And the reason they want you to be in fear, because they're the ones in fear. The ones at the highest level, they're tagged in to Lucifer, literally. Literally, they believe in Lucifer. And they kill people for Lucifer. This is a fact. Holidays, major holidays, events, and so forth, they adhere to. Because they're nothing more than mere slaves at Bohemian Grove. They appear to be important and politicians and presidents and CEOs and all this. Pfft, nothing more than slaves to a much higher hierarchy that controls their activities. That's all they are, slaves. They must do what they're told to do by virtue of the blood oath that they've taken. To keep people in control, they formed up movements, false religions, political aims to keep people divided, like Tea Party under the Council of National Policy, a right-wing group. Secretive under the Council of Foreign Relations, Illuminati, Christian Identity. They're being fooled big time. They got high-level preachers and politicians control, but they focus in and profile those in certain ethnic, political, economic backgrounds to keep them all divided. The KKK, Black Panther Party, Black Muslims, Aryan Nation, the cult groups, they work for the same people. The ones, Lord, don't even know this. They don't know this. So they find out what the person needs, what the culture, country, group, cultural group, whatever, what their need is. Then they hire or they form up active groups, either violent or political, but they form these groups to help pull them out of this bondage that they're in that's been set up already. It's called the dialectic. They buy off on it every time. Albanians, for example. I worked with Albanians for 5 years. I ran a security group, eastern part of Kosovo, Serbs and Albanians. And the Albanians, they needed a homeland. Goes back to Skanderbeg and way back. World War II, way before, back in before the 19th century. Way, 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 way back further. A nomadic group of people. What do they need? Need a home. Hitler found one for them called Bale Komtar. B-A-L-L-E-K-O-M-B-E-T-A-R. Komtar. Same thing as Fight for Liberty, 1776. Aha. Same thing as women needing the right to vote now because they're subjugated freedom light. Like the Black's Emancipation Proclamation by a racial avatar named Abraham Lincoln. The whites needed victory of July 4th, 1776, while we were subjugated by the Vatican and the British monarchy. Magna Carta. All this is connected. Every bit of it is connected. Every bit. You put them under subjugation, some kind of dictatorship, and then after a period of a generation, maybe two or three, because they carry this on each generation of Illuminati. Let me give you another example, up close and personal. The idea was to subjugate, beginning in 1950, the American forces by our own country, working for the Illuminati, long story short, to bring in and subjugate us under a dictatorship. It's ongoing now, but anyway. So how did we degrade a very powerful military force? Well, 1950s, they headed toward a pre-planned failure of Korea. It was already planned. It was orchestrated to fail by design. Same thing for Vietnam. I could go into details, but I'm not going to right now. All the way up is by design. Well, let me get to the point. In 1993, Clinton came out with Don't Ask, Don't Tell for homosexuals. Now, if you don't know it already, you're macho, marine, male, alpha, you know, type, whatever, does not get along with the homosexual type. They just don't get along. This is reality. Oh, you can give me that touch me, feel me kind of thing going on. It's divergent and all this stuff. But in reality, back in the days where man was a man, woman was a housekeeper and all that, it's like they're not going to get along with some fruitcake as they call them. They're different, the homosexuals. So the macho guy, the Marlboro man, not going to get along with the Temperella guy. Understand? That's the perception. It's just not going to happen. Let's get to reality. They know that. So Clinton said, don't ask, don't tell. Pull them in. The plan was always that at the right time to then say you can come out of the closet now. Flaunt it. There you go. And that's exactly what they did. And it worked absolutely perfectly. Family, you got 15,000 men assaults against men sexually, 3,000 more than women in 2011, 2012. You got officers that are combat veterans getting out because of what Clinton and Obama did over a period of almost 20 years. Clinton brings them in. And Obama says now it's good to come out of the closet. And a matter of fact, to prove it to you, they made sure that you knew it because Ruth Bader Ginsburg performed a ceremony of two male Marines getting married on the front lawn of the White House. To make sure in this ritual. Y'all been had. And military, you generals and colonel, you're helping destroy yourselves, and you don't even know it. Your blood oath with the Knights of Malta is a fraud. You're setting yourself up to die. Because when the Great White Brotherhood has total control of the New World Order, they are going to kill you. It's a fact. Chapter 15 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You best just look at it. Because you're setting yourself up for an unbelievable failure. You're being warned. I'm telling you right now what's going down. When they're through with you, they're going to kill you. They're going to hunt you down. And as a matter of fact, it says there'll be those below the highest level of Freemasonry will die, quote, as if by some illness. They'll never know the death sentence had been levied to them, unquote. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if you don't believe that, then I would suggest you look up her report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, 1977. and previous court opinions that she had, stated in her report, and I've got a copy of it myself. If I did, you did. You can find one. In part of her report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, that's how they control people. They take away your rights. Then later, at the right time, they give them back to you. Whatever. Well, here's what she said do. The whole idea here was to separate and divide, dismantle the family. That takes part of a major event of taking apart the families to destroy the country. That's the strategy they used since the 1700s. Set it up, then destroy the family, you take it apart. Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, is quoted as making that comment, making that quote. To destroy a country, you destroy the family. They needed the family structure together before 1945 to foment, to set up the wars, to galvanize a country. You had to have character. You had to have patriotism and all that sort of thing. And by a false flag, it would galvanize everybody together to go fight. How dare they bomb Pearl Harbor? How dare they sink the Lusitania? How dare they fight the sinking of the Maine? How dare they do that? Americans, let's get together. Roll your sleeves up. Let's go kick butt. That's exactly what they planned. The sinking of the Maine, as evidence confirms, not theory, it was a false flag to do just that. Lusitania was set up by J.P. Morgan and Churchill to kill those members of their own country on Lusitania as a false flag to get us into World War I. 10 years later, give or take, Churchill, again, that murderer, Churchill, he was a Knights of Malta, that murderer, Churchill, and another murderer named FDR, planned Pearl Harbor in 1925. This is cold, hard facts. I'm telling you like it is. When he's Assistant Secretary of the Navy, FDR. Y'all better get with it. And Brock Chisholm said, and I quote, 1947. Brock Chisholm was director of the United Nations World Health Organization. He said, to achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. And that was after 1946, when he was the director of the United Nations World Health Organization, was when they started targeting the United States to take her down. They knew it would take one, maybe two generations to soften us up enough to where the UN could then take over as a world government. Okay. Well, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg submitted her report, it was part of that initiative. And one initiative, one objective, was the following, quote, draft women into the military and assign them to combat duty and apply affirmative action to the armed forces in order to equalize the number of men and women. This will further eliminate traditional feminine roles. And another part says, I quote, eliminate traditional family concept of the husband as a breadwinner and wife as a homemaker, and integrate all male and all female organizations such as the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, and sororities. This to eliminate traditional male roles, unquote. And they've done just that. June of last year, Panetta. Oh, Leon, you know Leon, right? Pancake? Leon Pancake. I'm sorry, Leon Panetta. He lifted the ban for women to go to frontline units, fight side by side with their male counterparts in the same foxhole going up against other Spetsnaz or whoever else. Now, that's going to go over really well since men and women are equal, right? You ever seen a man and woman do arm wrestling? I don't think it works too well. Women have different physical issues than men do. If you don't know already, they do. And they know that. sexual assaults are massive that they're not reporting. Now you're going to put women on frontline units to combat. You got 22 suicides per day of our military forces. And those cowards up there at the Joint Chief of Staff are helping facilitate 22 suicides per day because they're part of this agenda to reduce the effectiveness of the same military that they work for. That's cowardice. Are they not bringing together now, getting rid of the Boy Scouts, defunding them because they're anti-gay? Yeah, they are. Are they not trying to bring transgenders into the military? Now they are, aren't they? Yeah, they are. How about that, huh? And they're trying to bring transgender into Boy Scouts to eliminate? Yes, they are. Girl Scouts? How about fraternity sororities? Same dormitories. Same bathrooms in high schools. You think these are all isolated instances? No. It's a planned, orchestrated, and designed. And everybody just laying back and just taking it like easy. They're either in a Christian identity program, they're in some religion, or they're marching for this or marching for that or Tea Party or something. Everybody's got so divided, they ain't paying attention to what's going around them. The blacks, for their been subjugated, they're taking control. The whites, KKK and Aryan and national and Christian identity. And then you got the religious groups, Westboro Baptist Church. You know, you got that going on, you know, and all this. They've got people so divided and nobody putting it together. Man, it's frustrating to see this going on. Can't do a darn thing about it. Because nobody wants to listen. Doggone it, you know. Martin Luther King had it right and is trying to bring people together. That's why the same group killed Martin Luther King, as killed Kennedy, as killed Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X were all killed by the same people. Because they tried to make a difference for their culture. Certainly, Martin Luther King was of a different culture than Malcolm X. Malcolm X was the radical thing, but he really cared about his people. That's what I respect about him. Not his ideology, but he was not part of the Boulay Society, Freemasonry. He wouldn't go along with it. And Martin Luther King wasn't just for the blacks and their freedom that we've kept them subjugated since 1712. I'd say it's about time to let them free, don't you think? As we murdered and raped from 1712, blacks from 1712 to 1860s, never stopped, really. Till 1960s, that was planned almost 200 years. Civil rights movement was planned 200 years before. Put the culture under subjugation. Then you free them and you control them. The dialectic. You see how that works? This is not accidental. This is all pre-planned by generations of Illuminati families. Timed out just right. Same names come up over generations upon generations. Illuminati. Although he's turned now against God, pretty much, Sprengmeyer, but he still is telling one-third truth. They subjugated him in prison or something. I don't know what happened to him. But he's definitely against the King James Bible. Of that, there is no question. But nevertheless, his stuff is still fairly good. And then John Coleman talks about the inside Illuminati family. So the Illuminati and the Freemasons and so forth still have to tell you the truth, so-called truth-tellers. So you got to get through the eat the chicken, spit out the bones kind of thing. But the one thing all of them are against, on either side, it don't matter which side, is Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. All of them, no matter what kind of agenda they got, all of them come to agreement of these two things. Anti-Jesus Christ. Some overly and some covertly. An anti-King James Bible. They want to bring up that garbage Geneva Bible and the NIV Bible. And it is, it's garbage. The King James Bible, irrefutably, is an inerrant word of God. There is no errors in it whatsoever. Everybody keeps saying they are, but nobody can show you any. You notice that. And every time they do, you can take an iron and iron it out just like it would an old shirt. Every single time. And they run away from you so fast because they don't want to talk to someone that's King James only. And they can't prove anything. As a matter of fact, you can prove them wrong every time. And you got to prove them wrong because that's a solemn, sovereign word of God. There is no other. There is no other Bible. None. All of them are perverted, corrupted, and they can be traced to the origin. No pun intended. Origen was a Greek philosopher that corrupted the second Bible that says only two Bibles have ever been written in the history of man. Because all Bibles that you have today come from one source, and that's Origen, a Greek philosopher. The first Bible was the scrolls and manuscripts collected at Antioch, hid throughout the Dark Ages, collected during the period and reign of King James, 5,000 documents collected, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English, for the first time ever, translated perfectly by real scholars, not the garbage they got today. And I mean from Harvard, Yale, and I can prove it too, no question about it. Because they're all humanist and Marxist in every college and university in America, as evidence confirms. Quotes, dates, names, I can give them to you. Every college and university is a Marxist, humanist college. Every one of them. All of them now. And including public schools. Freemasons control that. Nobody has an outcry. Everybody just lets it go on. Like old Elmer Fudd trying to find Bugs Bunny. Or is it, Bugs Bunny? Anyway, it's ridiculous. And it's deadly serious. If people only step out, step away from what they're doing, and take a look at what really is going on. So Martin Luther King was the one trying to bring people together. JFK was going to take it down by five steps. Bobby Kennedy is going to help him take down the mafia, which is controlled by the Vatican. And Malcolm X was supposed to bring in the radical Muslim group to a war, for a civil war inside the United States. He came back and said, no. So they made a clean swipe, clean slate of good men, and killed all four of them. The government did. Boulay Society, Freemasonry, Jesuits, CIA, just name them, heck, they're all part of it. Bushes. Oh, man, I tell you, sometimes it makes me tired. But I still like it. I still like to tell the truth about all this mess, just trying to throw it out there. Family, get with it. Step out of this matrix. But here's the downside of it. Once you do, you can't go back. You can't unlearn what you've learned about the truth about what this country is about. And includes Europe and Scandinavia and Russia and China. They're all part of it. I'm going to break you the news. Some of you are not going to like this, and some of you might. I don't know. Some of you probably already know. But family, there's no aliens out there. They don't exist. But what does exist, or what's referred to as fallen angels, they are real. The sons of God of the Old Testament took the daughters of man, created Nephilim, hybrids. A fallen angel, DNA and human DNA. And when it was refined, after the flood, they refined the DNA to almost look human. They became the pharaohs of Egypt, hybrids. The pharaohs of Egypt migrated, that brought in the Caesars. The pharaohs' bloodlines went to Europe. And they are today the monarchy that's there existing now. They're Nephilim. And depending on the DNA sequences and so forth that they've manipulated, you have giants they aren't shown yet. little gray men running around, if they are aliens, or not aliens, the manipulated DNA structures for demonic entities to take bodies. Now, some of you ain't going to like what I've just said. But there are no aliens out there. But these funny little things run around, and big old things they got coming up that's later down the road, will come out of their hiding. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, called the Day of the Lord. See, God's going to say, enough is enough. He'll know when the last person is ready to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He'll know when that is. And when it happens, he's going to step back and let Satan have his way. And boy, we're in it. The only truth you got really is a King James Bible. And there's not one soul out there, not one, can prove otherwise. Matter of fact, the proof is the other way. All they can do is claim. They prove nothing. I don't care if it's a theologian from Harvard. It don't matter. If they're ready to do it, they've done it already. They can't. Because it's not possible. They're counting on you not knowing your Bible and being intimidated by their professor status or their lecture status or books they've written means absolutely nothing. Because they're counting on you not knowing your scriptures. All of the Bibles are inadequate, missing verses and all kinds of nonsense. So they're afraid of the King James Bible because of the power that it has. What did they do before the King James? They didn't have it. And when they didn't have it, it's called the Dark Ages. That was the reason for having the Dark Ages, because God's word was hidden for all those centuries. And nothing but death, murder, rape occurred during those period of time. And that's why God hid his word and his spirit throughout the Dark Ages. Until such time that the right man came along, as prayed by Tyndale and Wycliffe, and King James opened the eyes of the king, and God did at the right time. In came the King James Bible. And notice, too, that's when technology started. It wasn't accidental. Because Satan knew that he had to move fast. So what's the point about this alien tape? What are we talking about? Well, I'll tell you. The Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be the fallen angels. Sanan Emanuel, Maitreya. Not Obama, not Prince William, not the Pope, none of those. America's not Babylon. It's all fake. So when this thing really kicks off and the first seal's really opened, it hasn't opened yet, at some point there begins the seven-year tribulation. Hadn't happened yet. They're trying to make you think that it's already happened, it's already done, but they can't show you a bit of the seven seals, the seven trumpets that's even happened yet. And a lake or a river that turned red in some little town in America or some place in Pakistan, that is not the tribulation. It can't be serious. A 900-pound hailstone that fell in Croatia by one theologian, ranting and raving on the radio, says, oh, we have a 900-pound... They're trying to get people to believe that that's already the sixth seal or sixth trumpet. Carl Gallup says we're in the sixth trumpet. That's impossible. It's not even possible. You're not going to have a localized tribulation. It's worldwide, for goodness sakes alive. They're minimizing the wrath of God. When the wrath of God is unleashed on this world, he'll remember his son. He'll remember how he was crucified. He'll remember how much chance the people had to take his son as their savior and rejected him over and over and over. And it's such a patient God we have. Wow. Because every time we turn him down, the opportunity we have to take Jesus as Savior is like slapping Jesus Christ in the face or laughing at him when he's dying on the cross. Because he's not there on the cross anymore. When he comes back, he's judge. Right now, he's your intercessor. Right now, you can pray to him. The Holy Spirit come into your heart, repent of sins, get away from the Christian identity, get away from these false religions and false movements and all this patriotism and all that, and get with Jesus. That is the only way. And it's going to be on an individual basis and even apart from family. It's not about being loyal to family or loyal to country and none of that stuff. It's about you being loyal to Jesus Christ. It's coming right down to that. You don't believe me? Look up Matthew 10:33-42. I double dog dare you. And look what he says there. He's not coming to bring peace. He's coming to bring a sword upon this land. North to south, east to west, and 360. That's a sphere. Huh? Yeah, see. Right now, we're on borrowed time, family. It's very important you understand this. Because this world is of a supernatural realm, not yet revealed to a lot of people. It's sure coming, though, like a choo-choo train. And it's barreling down on the lives of men and women. And when it's released, and the day of the Lord takes a hold, the day of the Lord will be nothing like this world has ever seen before. You see, so to cover the land, someone brings up to me another aspect, for example, the 257 foreign trade zones. Now, before I continue, hold on a second. I'm going to bring something out that you all need to put in your data bank there in your head. Think about what was collateral, for example, when we were put on a 70-year bank cycle in 1789. What was collateral? Washington, D.C. That's collateral. 70 years, 1859, to continue the bank cycle was collateral. 1859, Civil War, debt, collateral, 13 states. 70 years, 1929, collateral, every American citizen. And the work you perform, taking the money out of your check, debt slaves, was collateral for the third bank cycle. FDR knows all about it. 1999, beginning 1993, but 1999, New World Order, no more need for loan. They have a New World Order, but they didn't. Uh-oh, didn't work out like they'd planned. Because God's in control. How about that, huh? So we need stimulus. We need more money to continue till we can finally get this together. I'd say, like someone says here, 257 foreign trade zones would extend that debt, wouldn't it? Would that not bring on a stimulus plan to buy the debt? How's it go with Gomer? Remember Gomer? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah, well, that's a little silly. Might as well be silly because nobody else takes it serious. They're going to take it serious, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yep. Foreign trade zones turned over to China as collateral. Who knows what else they gave them for loans to keep us going until such time that the government, the high-level military traitors under control of the Vatican, divided themselves, actually, can bring in a new world order and start the depopulation of their own American families. How evil is that? Some folks out there better wake up. And those of you that have taken the blood oath, they're going to kill you. You understand what serious implications I'm making here? Now, y'all get mad at me all you want. I really don't care. But I highly recommend you research what I'm telling you. And you generals out there, you better get your stuff together. Or you're going to wake up. Well, you won't wake up. They're going to kill you. When they have total control, they're going to kill you and your families. They won't need you anymore. They're not going to give you a favorite parking place and let you rebuild America or the mankind's evolution to blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. Ain't going to happen. That's just a lie they're telling you in the Freemasons and the Knights of Malta that you're going to be the gods of the next evolution of mankind and la-di-da-di-da. They're not telling you the truth at all. They have their own genetic being that they've already created. And I can show you where it's at. Right under your noses. You'll find it in National Geographic. October issue. Called The Changing Faces of America. When we go to war, and we will, they're going to eradicate all races. And they have their own hybrids. In The Changing Faces of America, look it up, October 2013 issue, of a mixture of humans, they're already children, of Hispanic, white, black, and Oriental. It's already there, and they'll protect them. Absolutely. Look it up. You know, family, I want to add something to it also. It says in the Bible, and it lists it among murder, adultery, about debate. Debating is a worthless, most worthless activity ever was. Ham and Nye, the religious debate recently, Nye and Ham worked together. They're on the same side. You got one pseudo-Christian and one atheist or whatever, based on science. And they work together. You got Ham building an ark. Now, when you debate, for an example, just off the top of my head, nobody really wins. You sit there for an hour, maybe two, and you get 15 minutes or 10 or whatever, and you give your side of whatever it is, whether it's a political debate or whether it's a religious debate, I don't know, whether some ideology, religious thing or something, and you do your 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And then you're shut up, and then that other person will get his, and then while he's talking, or she, or whatever, you're writing down your points, your little hands just move right along. He's like, oh, I don't agree with that. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And you write it on. And then it's your turn again, so you'll give out yours, and they'll give out theirs, and you never, ever, ever, ever come up to a degree. It's a who's the best debater, or who's the worst debater, or whether you run out of time or not. They never come to an agreement. And the one debating will never say, gosh, you're right. Have you ever heard that happen, ever? He's right. I quit debating. He's right. I quit. He won. I give it up. Has it ever happened? Really, it ever. And when you're done with the debating, just for an example, I'm just pulling it out of the sky. Sort of. I've been in debating different places, and I just said, "Wait a minute!" And I listened to him. And You never come to an agreement. And here's the worst part of it, though. And this is why God's against debating. Let me tell you why. Because when I, let's say I am, let's say, which I am a born-again Christian, okay, whatever. That's my, because I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so when I did, I went through some heavy stuff because I was really repentant and so forth. Okay, fine. Then you say, well, here's an atheist or some other organization or whatever, theology. And when you start this debating, the one that say is anti-Christian or anti-whatever it is, you're giving them the opportunity to blaspheme God or to tear down what you've built up. And that's the trick of debate. That's the trap they catch you in. Because they win no matter what. They could lose because you're a good debater. You have all your scriptures up or you've got your points out and all this stuff. You got all lined up and all this good stuff. You've practiced, rehearsed. You anticipated. You watched them. You've just like a football game. You know, you look at them before you play the game and you know their comebacks and all this. You got all laid out. It doesn't matter. They still win because they're allowed to voice out at the same time on your same TV or radio or in college or whatever, wherever you are, to voice it out, and then it affects your audience, whether you're right or wrong. Or their own people will listen and get reemphasized. It's a matter of who you prefer. Well, if you look it up, actually, by the way, I can't see chat tonight. I don't know why. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I can't. I don't understand how that works. But I don't see chat tonight, so I have no idea who's right and what or this, that, and the other. So it's not because I'm not seeing it. If people are asking me questions on the chat or something like that, and I'm not answering back, it's not because I don't want to. It's because I can't see it. Or I would. I'd talk about whatever's been written. But I don't want to just spout off here. Let me see what I got here. Okay. If everybody would go in your Bibles, ones that can, go to Romans 1:29 in the King James Bible. And it says, quote, in the King James Bible, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. You know what that is, don't you? Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. Family debates included with murder. Now, I can't, you know, you can't, you know, there's no... In Proverbs 25:9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Discover not a secret to another. Isaiah 27:8, in measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. But Romans 1:29, it's not playing around. It tells you not to debate. It's included with murder. You know, so if I debate, I'm going against the scriptures. I got a problem with that. You know, I'm just bringing it up out of nowhere, pretty much. But I think you ought to know that. You know, that's very significant. But if I thought, like in debating, it would solve something, oh, yeah. You know, you could debate things. But other than that, you're falling in a quagmire. It's a trap. And if they can't see it already, that's too far gone. you know. When you have, let's say, an organization that's linked up to a subversive group like KKK or Aryan Nation or Mafia or something or whatever, who are they linked up to, whoever it is, whatever it is? Who they sponsor? Who they with? Who they protect? Well, that's it's pretty obvious. There's a problem there. Let me go back now. I kind of went off a little bit, I think, there. Sorry if I did, maybe, but it's actually all connected, though. There are some ways to get off another tangent, but in reality, all of what we're talking about, even now, is connected, quite frankly, in seven areas. I've already mentioned seven areas that they're all in control of. They have objectives. I'm not going to cover it right now, but they have objectives that they control in councils and committees of education, philosophy, religions, all of them. Science, all science, every bit of science. Arts, crafts, arts, politics, and finance. Seven areas. These are called the seven Ashram rays. And each one of these seven areas have objectives, milestones, guidelines, with councils and committees on each one with specialties. Worldwide control on those areas. You all know that. Now, that's significant. Things just don't happen accidentally. It's happened and planned ahead. Sometimes one, two, three generations. All you can do is pray for people to wake up. That's all you can do. And to keep yourself straight, because sometimes we can fall away ourselves. You see? You've got people even now saying that Mr. Putin is not under control of the Vatican. And in my opinion, Russia will most likely destroy the globalist if Christians will pray for him in Russia. That is impossible, because the tribulations are going to happen because of judgment. Putin is a traitor, just like Obama, like Clinton, like Bush, like FDR, like every single one of them's ever lived. They're all part of the same agenda. The only good part about it is they fight each other. The problem is we're caught in the middle. You see? And people are so deceived. But nevertheless, that's one of the reasons I'm not all up in hype over the Agenda 21 and FEMA camps and plastic coffins and, I don't know, colored little dots on your post office box, you know. Oh, yeah, they got this thing, post office boxes. If you got a red sticker, they'll come get you, and yellow sticker and blue sticker. Well, I don't see the problem. Just go out there. If you see a sticker on your mailbox, just take the darn thing off and put it. If you don't like your neighbor, just put on his. Or just take it off and go to Walmart and buy another sticker and then stick it on there a different color or something. You know, no, they want to cause fear is all they're doing through the conspiracy channels. But what we're coming upon, and here's my point. My point is, you get all this stuff going on, all these political agendas and all this stuff. But family, when the day of the Lord comes around, everything is put on hold. Because the day of the Lord is going to get the attention of the whole world at one time. Now, what is this day of the Lord? This is something you're going to want to know. Right now, maybe it doesn't mean much because you got an airplane that's missing that they're saying now has crashed. You got Agenda 21. You've got healthcare bill, Obamacare. Everybody's in a tether over that. And then you got that microchip that they've RFID tattoo, the tattoo with microchip. Now they got it out. I got the report today. A tattoo. I've been telling people this for a couple of years now, and I talked about it on my broadcast today, 4 to 6, in detail about the tattoo chip. See, not the very chip that you stick in with a horse needle, but now they got a tattoo that they can, you do it in these festivals and fairs. They put a tattoo on your skin and peel it off, and there's a tattoo on your skin. Well, this is permanent, but it's the microchip in a tattoo that can be applied to your skin. So your little kitties can have a tattoo with a RFID chip of Batman or, My Little Pony's thing going on, whatever, something. And if you're a real, Alabama kind of guy, you like your mama, you can get a tattoo, maybe ordered for the RFID tattoo with mama on it or something. I don't know. You see, it's a tattoo, and it connects with your soul, and it controls your mind. And I've got the details in my previous broadcast. It's behavior, coercive behavior modification. And a microchip is put on your skin with a tattoo. It's now in effect. And that's what they're going to use as the mark of the beast. I think it's pretty significant. Well, it's out now. It's public. Tattoo. Not a Verichip, but a tattoo. The technology. Don't let them fool you. I got the report. Coercive behavior modification goes back to 1973. So they say it's new. They're liars. It goes back to 1972, 73. Dr. Ralph Schwetzbel out of Harvard. Brother Robert worked on it. Actually, goes back to 1960. But the test case was felons that took out were homosexual. And they implanted a miniaturized device and transponder under the skin in 1972. I got a copy of the study. 92-page monograph. I talked about it on my broadcast as watchmanforjesus.com from 4 to 6. I'll have the archives. It's up now, actually. And that's what the show was about this afternoon. Is that RFID chip that was now a tattoo that they have now. It controls your mind. They're not telling you that. But after all, it might be a tattoo of Batman. Who knows? You might like that, huh? I'm being facetious. Everything comes to a halt when the day of the Lord. See, nobody's counting on that. They just know that, well, that's a term I heard in the Bible. And you hear it when you Van Nippies and all these things, but you never really take into mind what really it means. You see, the phrase, the day of the Lord, identifies events that take place at the end of a history. And when God has decided enough is enough. And what do we have right now today in America? The laws are changing. 17 states or more are going for homosexual marriage. They know what they're doing. They know if they get this passed and you get enough states, that it equals at some point in time, the balance will move over, that we've turned our back on God. Now, this is the purpose of the homosexual marriages being approved in each state. It's not all of a sudden the homosexuals have risen up and it's all moving because of that sociological issue. It is in connection with what I'm talking about right now, is to get America to turn away from God by changing the laws, thereby forcing the hand of God. Oh, and it will. It'll work. When we turn away from God, He's going to turn away from us. He'll take us back when you take Him as your Savior individually. But when the law of the land changes against the Bible and against God, boy, you better buckle up, because He's going to step back and judgment will come on this nation. And the problem is, the highest level, they know that. So all the others below, they're just figuring we can finally get married, honey. Oh, yes, baby. Oh, yeah. Okay. So they're all doing all this stuff for them. Okay. But what they don't know is they're cutting their nose off to spite their face. And so is the secret societies. They don't know this either. They're not, when they're in control, they're not going to get their favorite parking place. They're going to get a graveyard. When they go into the underground military bases to hide, when this World War III takes off after the second seal, that's going to be their crypt. They will die down there at deep underground military bases. They're going to die there. They will not come back up. God's going to crash it down on them. Where's the soul going to go? Because right now, whoever I'm talking to eternal beings right now. There's only two locations you're going, heaven or hell. That's it. You don't stand around for 3 or 4 days, like they say, and haunt the place. You're going to heaven or straight to hell. And the only way to get out of hell is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Oprah is wrong. Joel Osteen is wrong. And Billy Graham is wrong. He said recently, you don't have to know the name of Jesus. Well, yes, sir, you do. And Shuler, another 33rd degree Mason, says there's a wideness in God. Oh, well, no, Dr. Shuler, there's not. I'm not sure which Bible that you've created, but it's not in the real Bible, not in the real Word of God, that there's not a wideness. It's those that take Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, it's open to 7 billion people. Yeah. But who's going to take that choice? I got 5 minutes left. Now, I'm going to talk about the Day of the Lord tomorrow, Bible study. I can't do it now. It's crept up on me. The Day of the Lord is very important because that's going to change your life. And nobody knows. There's no way you can predict it. The time tonight crept up on me. I lost 15 minutes because something came up I had to take care of. I got an emergency going on in my personal life here, and I had to take care of it. And we got to get going. Y'all come back now. And we'll see y'all next Monday here at the Revelation Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Or tomorrow, watchmanforjesus.com, 4 to 6. Join me. Y'all have a great night.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night
muted.
In dismissed and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear today. Would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches. Sound of souls speak. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, and she told me where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran towards the garden. We found the stone and empty tomb was the way to live there. But the winding sheets they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, but something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I was turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. Cause I'd seen him crucified, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and aims came. And everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just come to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. The guilt and my confusion disappeared completely.
every fear I've ever had just melt into
nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious birth, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free, it was the envy of the world. But this shining city on the hill has turned from the Creator's will and let fear take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switch and bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this much righteous godly nation, in the halls of education, they fulfill a child's disgrace. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes a little perfect dance to every song we sing. Tonight we'll dance on the rising tide. Look beyond the shadows. Behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lies. Even if this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace. Our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us towards darkness. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle, as the beast prepares his march. There's an unseen hand that pulls the strain, and makes this little perfect dance to any song we sing, as the night falls in on the rising tide. Look beyond the shadows. Behold the pale horse ride. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. Very stupid. Or if we sit and hesitate, soon it will be wall, but you now rush to the chance. Lord, the one who called by God's name, repent of sin, seek his face. He will hear and heal the land. There's an unseen hand reaching from above, and the gentle voice that beckons to the shelter of his love. Come on home, my wayward child. Cause out on the horizon, there's a pale horse running wild. And there he comes, my wayward child. Can't you hear the thundering hoofbeats of a pale horse running wild?
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.